As we prepare our hearts for receiving of communion tonight, let's look at some passages of Scripture. I want to look at the thought of the Passover lamb. You know the story of the Passover, the beginning of the Passover, the atmosphere was probably charged with excitement, perhaps anxiety, as the reality was unfolding, that first Passover, the sprinkling or the painting of the blood on the doorposts, the cries of the Egyptians as their firstborn was taken, all that was involved, the children of Israel being a part of it from a different angle than the Egyptians, and then that was carried over. That time of remembering was carried over for years, decades, centuries. They believed in it. Jesus also celebrated Passover. It was a part of his life. The Passover lamb was a specific lamb. First of all, it had to be approved by God. There was an approval that needed to take place. In John's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 29, it tells us, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." That was an approval by God. John was recognizing the approval of God as this one, Jesus, to be that lamb. Also, we find in Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 35, "And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son. Hear him." Once again, we hear the approval from God stating that this one, his son, was to be the Passover lamb, the sacrifice lamb. Another aspect about the Passover lamb, it had to be without blemish. It's interesting to follow that. Some of you have animals. I don't know if any of you have an animal that is without blemish in the same sense, in the same regard as what it had to be in the Scripture for this particular animal. But without blemish, there couldn't be any tarnish to him. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers," verse 19, "but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Perfect. No blemish. Perhaps the biggest blemish that we would think of would be the spot of sin, the tarnish of sin. And surely that was a major aspect in the Lamb of God. Could not be with sin. And Jesus was that lamb without blemish and without spot. We also see that the lamb, the Passover lamb, had to be slain. You say, well, that's understood in the Old Testament Scripture. We can grasp that pretty easily. But when we come to the New Testament and the Passover that Jesus was implementing, this New Testament, it apparently was hard for his people, for his followers, to grasp. Jesus says in Luke 9:22, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. And if you read the entirety of the story in all the Gospels, you'll pick up there in one of those Gospels, after he has been raised from the dead, he makes the statement as though there's a question coming to him. Why did you do this? Why did you go through all of this? And Jesus said something to the effect, should I not have had to suffer? You see, it was a part of the plan. He had to be slain. He had to shed his blood. The fourth thing about this Passover lamb, could not have broken bones. John chapter 19, verse 36, for these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. That's an incredible part when you think about the cruelty of the Romans, the cruelty of the cross, how that all took place. But you see, God had it all planned, everything designed. We talk about the Creator and the intricate details of creation. There are some intricate details that are also involved with the sacrifice of the lamb at the hands of the cruel Roman soldiers. And yet, this particular, without bones being broken, was still fulfilled. You see, God had his hand miraculously working even in the midst of sinful men. Number five, that blood must be sprinkled. Again, if you study it and look at it in the Old Testament, it's a lot of things involved with that sprinkling of the blood. Let's look at the New Testament, Hebrews 9, verse 21 beginning. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. Verse 23, it was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. There was the sprinkling of the blood. It was a part of it. And finally, as we look at the Passover lamb, the flesh must be eaten. You read it in the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 12, verse 8, and they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. It wasn't a pleasant meal. It wasn't something that was going to make their mouth water. This was a plain roasting of the meat with bitter herbs. I don't know, is that making your mouth water? Is that causing you to want to get up and go home and finish off lunch? It probably doesn't. I don't believe that this was a piece of tender veal that you would enjoy longing for, but there was some bitterness involved with this. There was some sadness involved with it. Verse 9, eat not of it raw, nor sodden it all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. Just not a pleasant thought when you stop and think about the way we eat meat. But it had to be eaten. Is it not from that then that Jesus took the bread in Matthew chapter 26? In verse 26 it says, and they, as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. It's not Sister Ruth Montgomery's rolls or whoever else can make good bread, but it's of the unleavened kind. It's something that's not flavorable. But Jesus took that unleavened bread and he symbolizes it as a token of his body, as he breaks it and he blesses it and he hands it to his disciples. And that's what we are remembering tonight. That's what we are celebrating tonight. The Passover lamb. It's an honor, it's a privilege, it's actually a request of his that we would do this in remembrance of him. Paul said in 1 Corinthians that we don't do it lightly. We take it with seriousness. We take it with an examination. We look at ourselves, not flippantly saying, oh, I'm a pretty good guy or I'm a pretty good gal. I can just take this at will. But it's a cautious, it's a careful, it's an examined partaking. So before we partake this evening, I want us just to pause for a while. If you feel better kneeling, then kneel. Or if you can remain seated, that's up to you. But let's take a moment as we bow our head and just simply ask the Lord for his blessing in this part of the service. And this, may it be a blessing to each of us in our lives. And examine ourselves.